Hello and welcome to the Arizona Capital Times on Sun Sounds. My name is John Coe. I am in Flagstaff, and I will be your volunteer reader for today, reading articles that were published in the Arizona Capital Times on or about March 14th, 2025. Headline: House Appropriations Committee Believes a Signed Budget Possible by April. Written by Jacob Thorington and published in the Arizona Capital Times on March 14th, 2025. With an approaching deadline to pay disability service providers, the House Appropriations Committee chairman says it's a realistic goal for the legislature to get a budget signed by Governor Katie Hobbs by the end of April. Representative David Livingston, a Republican from Peoria, said on March 12th that the House and Senate are aiming to get a budget deal done before May 1st. Quote, "Our goal is to pass a budget and synodai before May 1st to fix last year's budget, this year's budget, the three-year rolling budget, all at the same time," Livingston said. "It's realistic. All it takes is all the parties sitting at the table negotiating." The Division of Developmental Disabilities is facing a $122 million shortfall and will run out of cash to pay to service providers by May, creating urgency to get a budget deal done for Republican lawmakers who say they're not willing to appropriate emergency funding outside of a budget deal. But both Livingston and Hobbs say budget negotiations haven't started yet. Hobbs, on February 26th, called on Republicans to stop using families with children with developmental disabilities as pawns and for them to send her their budget priorities. A week later, on March 6th, she said budget negotiations had not moved forward from when she had called on the legislature to act. Quote, "These are not Democratic or Republican kids," Hobbs said. "These are kids with disabilities that need the services the state provides. Republicans don't bat an eye on issuing supplemental funding for overspending on ESAs, and these are critical services that families in Arizona need." Livingston said on Wednesday that neither he nor Senate Appropriations Chairman Senator John Kavanaugh, a Republican from Fountain Hills, has met with the governor's staff yet to discuss the budget. The first two budgets negotiated between Hobbs and the legislature in 2023 and 2024 both have resulted in Hobbs signing each budget package after May. Doug Cole, a political consultant and lobbyist with High Ground Public Affairs Consultants, said the funding for the Division of Developmental Disabilities is just one of many issues that is being hyper-politicized by both Republicans and Democrats who are thinking about Hobbs' re-election efforts in 2026. Quote, "Republicans are building that narrative about fiscal management," Cole said. "Rightly or wrongly, that's the narrative." House Republican leadership issued a joint statement on March 6th blaming Hobbs for the shortfall in the developmental disabilities program. They accused her administration of, quote, "reckless spending decisions without consulting the legislature." Quote, "Political games must end. Governor Hobbs must instruct her agency staff to work constructively with us. Reforms are necessary to prevent this disaster from repeating itself. Arizona taxpayers and families deserve better than empty rhetoric and mismanagement," Speaker Steve Montenegro, a Republican from Goodyear, Majority Leader Michael Carbone, a Republican from Buckeye, Speaker pro tempore Neil Carter, a Republican from Queen Creek, and Majority Whip Julie Willoughby, a Republican from Chandler, wrote in a joint statement. The Arizona Republic reported in February that DDD's funding issues stem from cuts to the Parents as Paid Caregivers program, which started during the COVID pandemic with federal funds to help parents care for children with disabilities at home. Hobbs tried to use state funds to continue the program in 2024, but the legislature didn't agree to her funding request in the budget, so she used pandemic recovery dollars to fund the program. Still, enrollment in the DDD program has only increased since that decision, leading to a budget shortfall. Republicans are seeking reform to the program and said they will not rubber stamp a Democratic attempt to give emergency funding to the program. During a February 19th House Appropriations hearing, Republicans rejected an offered amendment to HB 2449 from Democrats, which would have appropriated the $122 million that DDD needs. And Livingston said Republicans would only address the issue as part of the budget package. GOP lawmakers have proposed cutting DDD's budget by 25 to 50%, which Hobbs called inhumane and fiscally irresponsible after she released a budget update on March 5th that indicates the state's Empowerment Scholarship Account program will need supplemental funding of $48.4 million. Quote, Republicans are weaponizing a routine part of the budgeting process to hold Arizonans with disabilities hostage, Hobbs said in a news release. In the fiscal year 2024 budget, Republicans supported a $274.8 million ESA entitlement supplemental. Despite the rhetoric from both Hobbs and Republican lawmakers and the lack of budget decisions, Livingston said he believes a deal can be reached before May, since he feels the House's budget priorities are mostly aligned with Hobbs in transportation projects and funding for border law enforcement support to the Department of Public Safety. Quote, we will have those meetings, and once those meetings start, if the House, Senate, and governor's team want to get this done, we meet daily sometimes, and that can happen very fast, Livingston said. When she sees that formal list of House priorities, I think it's all things she could easily agree to. The Arizona Developmental Disabilities Planning Council has called on the legislature to act fast and said the Republican proposal to cut DDD's funding by a quarter to half of its current budget is unrealistic and would lead to dire consequences for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Quote, any effort to further cut services will only deepen these issues, leaving individuals without the critical support they need to live independently, maintain employment, and participate fully in their communities, the council wrote. Further cuts would drive even more frontline workers out of the field, worsening the crisis. These services are not luxuries. They are medically necessary and fundamental to the well-being and rights of Arizonans with disabilities. Headline. Democratic Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona dies of complications from cancer treatment. Written by Stephen Groves and Leah Askarinam and published in the Arizona Capital Times on March 13, 2025. Democratic United States Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona, who championed environmental protection during his 12 terms in Congress, died Thursday of complications from cancer treatments, his office said. Grijalva, who was 77, had risen to chair the United States House Natural Resources Committee and was the top Democrat on the committee until earlier this year. He had been absent from Congress as he underwent cancer treatment in recent months. Grijalva's office said in a statement, quote, from permanently protecting the Grand Canyon for future generations to strengthening the Affordable Care Act, his proudest moments in Congress have always been guided by community voices. Another Democratic House member, Representative Sylvester Turner of Texas, died last week from health issues. Grijalva, the son of a Mexican immigrant, was first elected to the House in 2002. Known as a liberal leader, he led the Congressional Progressive Caucus in 2008 and dedicated much of his career to working on environmental causes on the Natural Resources Committee. He stepped down from that position this year after announcing that he had planned to retire rather than run for re-election in 2026. During his time in Congress, Grijalva championed protections for endangered species and wilderness areas, as well as stronger regulations on the oil and natural gas industries. He played a key role in writing the National Landscape Conservation System Act and the Federal Lands Restoration Act, which were passed and signed by President Barack Obama. Grijalva had announced in April last year that he had been diagnosed with cancer, but would be able to continue his work. He also sought re-election and won easily in the blue-leaning district. Condolences poured in following the announcement of the passing of Congressman Raul Grijalva, a Democrat. He was first elected to the House of Representatives in 2003 and represented Southern Arizona for more than two decades. Quote, I am devastated by the loss of Representative Raul Grijalva, and my heart is with his family and loved ones. He was a true champion for the people of our state, said Governor Katie Hobbs. Quote, a giant of our community has passed from our midst. Pima County is grieving at the sad news that United States Representative Raul Grijalva has died, Pima County said. Since he was a young man in his 20s to the day that he passed, he worked in service to the people of Pima County, southern Arizona, and the nation. Quote, Arizona lost a giant today, said Attorney General Chris Mays. Raul leaves a legacy that is unmatched. I am thinking of his family and loved ones. Senator Ruben Gallego, a Democrat from Arizona, said, quote, Congressman Grijalva was not just my colleague, but my friend. As another Latino working in public service, I can say from experience that he served as a role model to many young people across the Grand Canyon state. He spent his life as a voice for equality. Headline: State Republicans push early ballot election reform, ID requirements for voting. Written by Jamar Younger and published in the Arizona Capital Times on March 14, 2025. Republican leaders are determined to reform the state's election system to speed up tabulation of election results, even after Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed a bill last month which aimed to accomplish that goal. The new measures would change the deadlines for early ballot drop-off, require voters to update their names on an active early voter list within a specific time frame, allow schools to be used as polling places, and create new laws to ensure all votes are counted within a day of the election. These provisions are similar to those vetoed by Hobbs in the past. In that veto letter, Hobbs said she proposed compromises to quicken results while protecting the active early voter list, but felt the bill could disenfranchise some eligible voters. Some observers view the debate as part of the political back and forth where lawmakers are looking to appeal to their constituents rather than work across the aisle to potentially address issues within the state's voting system. Quote, Republicans are trying to, in some instances, make voting more difficult, and Democrats are claiming that an early vote is dropped off on Election Day, which is not an early vote, said GOP consultant Chuck Coughlin, who is CEO and president of High Ground Incorporated. Quote, so they're really not concerned about speeding up on Election Day returns. They're just playing political gotcha with the other side. A resolution introduced by Representative Alexander Colodin, a Republican from Scottsdale, mirrors the bill Hobbs vetoed. The measure, HCR 2013, passed the Senate Judiciary and Elections Committees on March 5th and is awaiting a hearing in the Senate Rules Committee. Like the vetoed bill, Colodin's resolution would also require early ballots to be dropped off by 7 p.m. on Friday instead of by the same time on Election Day. It would also require early mail voters to confirm their address every election cycle if they live in a county with at least 500,000 people or during the four-year period, which accounts for two election cycles if they live in a smaller county. Colodin's resolution also includes a provision prohibiting election officials from using any money from foreign governments or foreign non-governmental organizations to administer an election. Another resolution introduced by Senator J.D. Mesnard, a Republican from Chandler, SCR 1030, would ask voters to require the legislature to create new laws that would ensure that 95% of ballots are counted within 24 hours of an election. Mesnard said during the Senate Judiciary and Elections Committee hearing on February 19th that his premise was to let voters mandate the legislature to speed up the timeline for election results. Quote, fundamentally, is this the right policy for the timeline and counting votes by Election Day, 95% within a day of the election? He said. If the voters pass that, then obviously we'll all be more empowered to actually achieve a voter mandate. The resolution passed the Senate and was assigned to the House Federalism, Military Affairs, and Elections Committee, where it awaits a hearing. Mesnard also introduced SB 1001, which would require the signature and identification of a voter with an early ballot if they drop off the ballot after 7 p.m. on the Friday before an election. That bill was awaiting a hearing in the Senate Committee of the Whole. A number of other bills contain proposals that are either similar to or overlap with the provisions in Colodin's resolution. Senator Jake Hoffman, a Republican from Queen Creek, introduced a bill which would require schools with gymnasiums to provide sufficient space as a polling place when requested by a county election official and for the school itself to be closed on an election day. However, teachers would have to come to work and conduct training or professional development and would be prohibited from taking off on that day unless it's required by statute. The bill would also prevent a county's Board of Supervisors from using voter centers in place of designated polling places. Hoffman acknowledged during the Senate Judiciary and Elections Committee hearing on February 19th that the concept of the bill was similar to the measure vetoed by Hobbs, and now it is in Coladin's resolution. Quote, "The reality is we need more polling places. Our county recorders know we need more polling places," he said. Hoffman also introduced another bill that would require early voters or their representatives to show identification when dropping off a ballot or face a Class 5 felony for knowingly violating identification requirements. Both bills have passed the Senate. Coughlin said he believes there are ways for Democrats and Republicans to compromise on these issues and speed up the election process if they make a more bipartisan effort. Quote, "It requires somebody to stand up and be a leader, and we just haven't seen that yet." You're listening to the Arizona Capital Times on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been providing information access since 1979, and you can always listen to our live stream at sunsounds.org. Headline: Fincham bill would create state agency to oversee new land and natural resources. Written by Reagan Priest and published in the Arizona Capital Times on March 14, 2025. One Republican lawmaker wants to create a new department to manage a category of land that does not currently exist in Arizona in anticipation of potential policies from President Donald Trump. Senator Mark Fincham, a Republican from Prescott, sponsored a bill to establish the Department of Natural Resources to oversee state lands that are not state trust land. The only problem is all state land is state trust land. Fincham said the idea is inspired by indications from the Trump administration that it will return swaths of public land managed by the federal government back to the states where the land is located. Quote, "The federal government right now has an appetite. Because of many years of horrible mismanagement of land, there is an appetite to get out of the land possession business," Fincham said during a February 17th hearing. Quote, "And if that land comes to the state of Arizona, we better be prepared to accept it." However, environmentalists say the bill is just an attempt to control environmental regulations from other state agencies that restrict natural resource extraction. Currently, 13% of Arizona's nearly 73 million acres of land are state trust lands. That means any money generated from those lands or their natural resources must be returned to 13 different beneficiaries, such as the state's K-12 education system, colleges and universities, and state buildings. The rest of Arizona's land is a combination of private, public, and tribal land. According to the United States Forest Service, 42% of Arizona's land is public. The State Land Department oversees and manages the state trust land, while the Treasurer's Office oversees and invests the revenue generated from that land. Fincham said that if the federal government were to relinquish public land back to the state, the Land Department would not have the authority to manage it. Fincham told the Senate Federalism Committee on February 17th that his bill, which creates the Department of Natural Resources and a Commission on Natural Resources to control the department, will ensure Arizona has an entity ready to manage any public lands that are returned to the state. However, the bill has another provision that environmentalists say holds the true intent of the legislation. Fincham's bill would allow the Department of Natural Resources to issue permits for extraction of natural resources and to modify or deny those permits issued by other states' agencies related to resource extraction. During a floor session on March 6th, Senator Priya Sundarajan, a Democrat from Tucson, said she did not understand the need to create a new department. Quote, Why do we need to create this new Department of Natural Resources, especially when what this would do is allow this entirely new department to override other permitting decisions made by other agencies? Sundarshan said. She said she is particularly concerned about the new agency's ability to override agencies like the Department of Water Resources, the Department of Environmental Quality, and the Game and Fish Department, all of which grant permits related to resource extraction. Fincham answered Sudarshan's question with a question of his own during the floor debate on the bill. Quote, why should the Department of Natural Resources be bound by other departments when it is their responsibility to administer natural resources? Fincham said. Quote, because this department does not exist, Sundarshan responded. Sandy Baer, a lobbyist for the Arizona chapter of the Sierra Club, said she believes the bill is an attempt by Republican lawmakers to get more control over public lands to use for mining or oil drilling. In recent years, Republicans have attempted to claw back public lands by suing over the designation of federal monuments and asking Congress to give land back to the states. Quote, this bill is intended to pave the way for more resource extraction and really limit protections because it would be like this super agency that could amend or deny or grant permits that other agencies were working on, said Baer. To me, it's just creating more bureaucracy, but in the name of loosening up regulations. Baer acknowledged that the Trump administration has expressed interest in minimizing the amount of land managed by the federal government, but she pushed back on Fincham's assertion that the state could come into possession of public land quickly or easily. As with a lot of Senator Fincham's ideas, it is not very well thought out, Baer said, and it is not looking at really how things work. Baer suggested that if the federal government were to relinquish public land back to the state, lawmakers should consider giving that land back to one of the several indigenous communities in Arizona. Currently, 27% of Arizona's land is tribal land managed by the federal government for the benefit of the 22 federally recognized tribes in the state. Quote, if there were anybody's lands, they would belong to the indigenous people and not to the state, Baer said. Fincham could not be reached for comment on this story. His bill received final approval in the Senate on March 13th, with one Republican voting against it, and it will now move to the House. Headline: Churches could allow housing built despite zoning, but opposition surfaces. Written by Howard Fisher for the Arizona Capital Times and published on March 13th, 2025. State lawmakers are moving to give churches the ability to make deals with developers to build homes on their property, and do so without having to comply with many local zoning regulations. The legislation, crafted by Representative David Livingston, gained preliminary House approval this week after he agreed to some changes demanded by neighborhood associations. Most notably, the Peoria Republican stripped out language that would have allowed for multi-story, multi-family apartment complexes in areas now zoned for single-family homes. As approved, HB 2191 says only single-family homes can be built and they can't be more than two stories tall. But Representative Matt Gress, a Republican from Phoenix, said even what remains still leaves residents at risk of having the character of their neighborhood altered. And that is now forcing Livingston to scramble to see if he can make further changes to line up the necessary support before a roll call vote next week. The dispute is one piece of a larger multi-year fight over how to create more affordable housing. Lawmakers last year voted to require cities to allow duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, and townhomes on some parcels now zoned for single-family housing. They also said commercial properties can be repurposed for housing and agreed to force cities to allow placement of casitas adjacent to existing homes. And this year, the legislature and Governor Katie Hobbs are trying to reach a deal that would allow developers to build subdivisions with homes on smaller lots than zoning now requires. HB 2191 is another carve-out for such regulations. It says that existing churches, synagogues, mosques, and other religious institutions are free to enter agreements with developers to construct housing on their property and to do so without regard to how the land is zoned. In fact, as approved, it would allow up to 17 homes per acre. That drew a specific objection from Gress, who represents portions of North Central Phoenix, as well as Paradise Valley and Scottsdale. Quote, every church is surrounded by a neighborhood, he said, and those neighborhoods differ. Gress said what's missing from the legislation is something that requires these new developments, with their entitlement to avoid certain zoning regulations, to reflect the character of the surrounding neighborhood. Quote, so having a one-size-fits-all, 17 units per acre, really, in some of these communities? He said, that could be a bit much for some of our neighborhoods. But Representative Sarah Liguori, who has been working with Livingston on the plan, suggested she believes that the changes from the original plan done to satisfy neighborhood groups may have already gone too far. She said they are undermining the goal of creating as much affordable housing as possible. Quote, I think that it is narrowed in scope where it won't have as much of a positive impact as we would have liked to address the housing crisis we're seeing statewide, said the Phoenix Democrat. Among the changes is that the original bill would have required the religious institution, which owns the property, to record a deed restriction requiring that for at least 55 years, 40% of any housing be earmarked for low-income households. That is now gone. Still, Liguori said, she supports the bill. Quote, I do think it would do a great deal to begin to bring the American dream of home ownership to a large population of Arizonans who have been left behind, she said. But Representative Cesar Aguilar said there are more and better ways to deal with affordable housing, like rent controls and what he called affordable housing zoning reform. The Phoenix Democrat said, what's left in this bill, including the elimination of the possibility of multifamily housing, hardly makes it worthy of consideration. Quote, this bill, with this amendment, is now watered down to barely help a handful of people when the church's intent was to help many in need, Aguilar said. And he said he thinks he knows the reason. Quote, I've seen and heard more and more people before, more and more NIMBY and questions having God's people in our neighborhood, referring to what is known as the not-in-my-backyard attitude of some. Still, Aguilar said he supports what's left of the legislation, even though he said he believes it does the bare minimum to address the issues. House Majority Leader Michael Carbone, however, said there's a reason the legislation was recrafted to eliminate apartments from what can be built. Quote, this is about putting people in homes they can own, not rent, said the Buckeye Republican. Rental does not make homes affordable, does not increase supply. Gress, however, said even more changes are needed to make the legislation acceptable, and that includes the issue of home ownership versus rentals. Quote, I think we need to more explicitly define what we mean by single-family housing, he said. And that, said Gress, does not mean homes built by and owned by investors who can then rent them out. You've been listening to the Arizona Capital Times, a production of Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. Once again, my name is John Coe. Thank you for listening.